Leonard Sweet wrote an article about trust I think is interesting. He talks about travel, and some of you can relate to what he says. Sweet says that travel is hard enough without the airline industry scaring us with their terminology. He said, as I drive up to the airport watching for the signs that indicate what exit to take, I wonder what sadists named the place where you trust your all to a creaking bunch of nuts and bolts. It's called terminal. When I check in at the counter, he says, I remember this particular flight was chosen by my travel agent for one reason. It was the cheapest flight available. When it's time to land, why does the flight attendant have to remind us that we are making our final approach? On a recent flight, he noted, the attendant announced reassuringly, we will be in the ground very shortly. When the flight attendant warns us not to move until the plane has reached a complete stop, Sweet said, I often wonder what an incomplete stop might be like. Trust. Trust is one of those words that's difficult, and certainly there are times that we have to put our trust in pilots or in drivers or in governments or in spouses or in educators or in doctors. Trust. Trust is one of those things that's a part of life. We all have to find someone that we trust at one time or another, and yet it's not easy to trust. And many of us have experienced the repercussion or the fallout of broken trust. And so it becomes a challenge for us sometimes to know who we can trust, and in some ways it becomes a challenge for us to trust God. It can become a difficulty, a challenge. But I want you to understand something about realignment. That realignment is going to involve trust. We're in the series that we've been in for the 4 weeks. Today's the last part of our series on getting ourselves lined up and getting our lives moving in the right direction, lined up with what God wants. And the premise of the whole series has been that when we realign ourselves with God and we get on track with God, that not only is our spiritual life better, but our life in general is just better. That our relationships are better when we get things lined up with God and with Christ. Well, this morning I want us to go to the Old Testament, and I want to draw on the passage that you've seen every week on your bulletin, and that is from the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. If you have your Bibles, you might turn there. We're just going to look at the first few verses. This shouldn't be a long sermon unless the Spirit really gets hold of your preacher today. But there's a lot of truth in just a few verses here. And I'd like us to think about them together. So in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, we read these opening remarks. It says this, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. My son, keep my commands. Why is it that we think of obedience mostly as something for collie dogs and for golden retrievers, but not so much for Christians? We're not always good at obeying. It's not something that comes naturally to us. And obedience is what God wants. In fact, he said, right to obey is better than to sacrifice. Obedience is one of the things God calls us to. But here, the proverb writer says there is a benefit to obedience. And I want you to note this. Whether you are a young man, young woman, or an old person, well, we won't go there, but nonetheless, whatever your condition is, listen to what he says. He says, keep these commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years. Obedience is connected to longevity of life. I mean, a similar statement is made to children. Children, obey your parents that you may live long on the earth. There is a connection between obedience and long life. Make of that what you will. Scripture certainly says such a reality exists. He says, in obeying, there are some things that happen. Obedience leads to peace and to prosperity. Now I know, Marty's gone over the hill. He's preaching health, wealth, and prosperity this morning at Ogleville, right? Well, really, maybe I'm not, but the proverb writer seemed to be, didn't he? I mean, the proverb writer says if you obey God that you will not only live longer, but that you'll have more peace in your life and you'll be more prosperous. Maybe the wise author of Proverbs was onto something. But the opposite seems to also perhaps be true, that there's a price to pay for disobedience, and that it sometimes costs us more than just spiritual peace. Maybe it costs us something in our lives, in our relationships, in our pocketbooks. James, the brother of Jesus, writes in his gospel that we are not merely to be hearers of God's word, but to be doers of God's word. Don't merely hear what it says, but do what it says. James is calling us to obedience. He's calling us to practicing what God has for us. But that's really not easy to do, especially when we come to times of difficulty. I mean, sometimes we come to those moments where we say words like this, Lord, how am I going to survive this trial, this circumstance? If that's where you are, I want to put a plug in for the new sermon series that starts next week, a two-part sermon on being battle ready, ready for the challenges that life throws at us. It's based on the book of Ephesians in the 6th chapter, where you'll read as an example a verse like this for difficult trials. Take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Sometimes we say, but this is not just a fiery dart, it's a fiery trial. It's a fierce struggle that I'm in. Then be reminded by God's word, by his commands, by his teaching, where we read these words from 1 Peter in the first chapter, verses 5 and 7. You are kept by the power of God through faith, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been granted by various trials, or grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise. Of course, we understand we have an adversary. And in some trials that we're trying to trust God in, we recognize we have a harassing enemy, that Satan is out to harm us, and indeed he is. But I'm reminded of what it said in Genesis chapter 50, where God himself speaks and tells us that what Satan had meant for evil, God meant for good. So what do I do when I face a difficult struggle? I trust. I trust God. I keep his command in my heart. And I trust that he is the one who will indeed prolong my life even when it seems that it's going to be shortened. That he will protect my peace even when it doesn't make sense to have it. And that he will help me to prosper even though everything around me says calamity and disaster. That is the God I put my trust in. And I show that I have placed my trust in God by keeping his commands. But then he goes on and he says there's a second thing that has to do with realignment. And it's not just about obediently keeping the commands of God, but it is about letting love and faithfulness never leave me. He says, bind these things around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. He's telling us, hold love and faithfulness near you at all times. But if we face those trials, those tests, those difficult moments, it's not always easy to be faithful. And it's not always easy to hold love towards others when they're not being loving towards us. But he's told us something powerful there. When he calls us to be people of love and faithfulness, he's not just calling us to attitudes, he's calling us to action. We can't be people who love merely in word. We have to love in deed. We can't be people who say that we are faithful just in our words, but we are faithful in our lives. It's not just about an attitude, it's about an action of love. In 3 weeks, we'll start a series called Make a Difference. When that series starts, I got to tell you, it's all about love, finding its traction and getting involved in action, expressing itself, faith expressing itself in love in very real and powerful ways. When we hold love in our hearts and we express that, we are like Jesus, who faced the difficulty of the cross, but was able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And to show love and compassion on the very people who brought him harm. I can show love and compassion on others because I know that whatever happens in the first part of what the proverb writer said, if I am faithful to God's commands and I am loving in the midst of trials, I know that God will ultimately help me to prevail in the struggle. Sometimes I will prevail by death, being elevated to heaven. But far more often in life, he helps me to overcome the struggle, the trial, and gives me victory when it seems I'm headed for defeat. The proverb writer says that if we keep his commandments and we keep love and faithfulness near us, then we will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Some have said, what is the biggest challenge facing the world today? Why is it that increasingly people are leaving faith? They have a generalized faith, but not a specific one. Anything kind of goes. It becomes kind of this world that is a pan-theology. Everything is valid and nothing is invalid. And people are increasingly less about doing exactly what God says and more about doing what they think God might want them to do based on what they want to do. How does the church counter that? How does the church call people back to say, Jesus said there is only one way, that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him? And how do we draw people back? Well, one of the ways it has to happen is Christians have to be Christians. We have to be Christ-centered in our life. And when people see us, we have to represent Christ to them. As we represent Christ to the world, we show them exactly how Jesus lived by modeling that in our own lives. Living like he lived. Being distinctive as he was distinctive. Showing forgiveness when no one else wanted to forgive. Showing mercy when no one else wanted to show mercy, as Zach did such an awesome job showing us this morning. By being faithful when others would run away. By being salt. By being light. By being sacrificial. By taking time to be different. Remember, Jesus started and ended his days quite often in prayer, going off to a solitary place. I don't know where you start and end your days. Most of the time, I start my days rolling out of bed, getting my feet to the floor for the first time, and I'm already thinking about the next thing before I've paused to think about God. And I don't know where you are when it comes to the end of your days, but too often I fall asleep sitting on the couch watching the news. If the world's to know that we're different, then perhaps we could be more like Jesus. We'd start our day in prayer and in the Word, or close our day, as I used to watch my grandfather so often. I think it was the secret of his happiness. I'd see him sitting in his chair asleep in the evening, Bible open in his lap. He had fallen asleep, resting in the presence of God's Word, meditating on it. Well, he says, well, we will receive some rewards, and the world indeed will be blessed when the church is the church. And then the third thing that he calls us to is this ultimate trust we've been talking about this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You know, one of the things I think is so remarkable about the Bible is the Bible is like a museum of all of the people who have been faithful to realignment. Could you imagine if Harold Hutchinson and Toby down there at H&K Auto, if they had like this wall where they kept the very best realignments of cars and trucks they'd ever done? You know, there's a 1967 Chevy that had great alignment, and they put a picture of it up on the wall. That car was really realigned. I mean, that was the best realignment we ever did. Could you imagine how, we'd think that was silly in a sense, if that's how cars were thought of. But in the Bible, think of how many people the Bible records to us of people who were heading in one direction, but their life got realigned. And when it got realigned, God did this really incredible thing in their life. And the Bible holds it up for us to see. This is what happens when you realign your life. I mean, if we just went to the New Testament, we could look at people like Matthew. His life was based on money and wealth and taking advantage of others. He was a tax collector. But when Jesus realigned his life, he became a testament writer. Or we could go a little farther through that book and we could look at John. And John had spent his life as a fisherman. But when Jesus realigned his life, he became a fisher of men. Or we could take a look into the book and take a good look at Luke. And Luke had been a slave, and when he came across Jesus, he became a servant of the king. He had been a physician, and when Luke finishes, he becomes the great doctor or passing on doctrines of the faith, recording them for the church. We could look at Paul's life and how he had gone from being a Pharisee to a prophet of God. And we could look through the Bible at Peter, who had gone, in his life, had gone from becoming a son of thunder to becoming a true son of God. It's about realignment. The Bible is filled with people who realign their lives. If you turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see this great listing of people. It's called the roll call of the faithful sometimes. It's this great tribute to people who got their lives realigned by God and the difference that it made because they were realigned. Well, even though the Bible was finished in its writing 2,000 years ago, I want you to understand that God's listing of the faithful continues. And I believe that in heaven there are those celebrations of the faithful. Your deeds, the Bible gives us this image, go on ahead of us and before us. And they last long after we've died. Those good things we've done, they're remembered. Realignment makes a difference. I love how this text ends. Listen to what it says as we come to the end of this passage. He says, "In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. But do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of your crops. Then all your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine." When we align ourselves with the path that Christ has set for us, incredible things will happen in our lives and in our world. When you get a car realigned, everything lasts longer. The car lasts longer, the tires last longer, the fuel economy improves, and when you get your life realigned with God, guess what? Things last longer. Remember the children of Israel? When they got in step with the Lord, their sandals didn't wear out. Things lasted longer. God had a way of taking care of things and working things out. I love to hear those stories from Christians who talk about, when I really got in line with the Lord, all of a sudden I had this bill that was due and I didn't know how I was going to pay it, but all of a sudden a check just showed up in the mail. I know that sounds just like one of those prosperity preachers on TV, except I've heard many of you tell me that exact story. Why is that? Well, I think it has something to do with this. God is a loving father. And he cares about his kids. And when we realign ourselves with Jesus, we become a part of his family. And I'm not just Marty. I'm God's son. And you're not just Mary. You're God's daughter. And God knows how to give good gifts to his children. And let me tell you this for certain. God knows who his children are. There's a reason the Bible says he has called us by name. Now, sometimes I think he calls me Martin Eugene Wright. Oh. And sometimes he says, "Come on, son. I'm here for you." I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you need God to call you by your full name and come alongside of you, put his hand firmly on your shoulder and say, "Come on, you are way off the path. We're coming home." Maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's how much you're out of line. Maybe this is going to be a big realignment for you. There's a lot that needs to happen. Maybe you're a little bit out of line. Maybe you've been saying, I get some of the things God wants me to do, but I just don't really want to be faithful to that. I mean, maybe God's calling you to do something. You've been resisting that. It can come in a lot of areas. Sometimes it's an act of service you know you should do, but you're resisting doing it for whatever reason. Sometimes it's about healing a relationship, but you're resistant to do that. Sometimes it's that I know I should read more, or I should study more, or I should pray more, but I'm just too busy. So maybe it's a time to say, I'm going to draw all that back together again and be faithful to God. Whatever the situation of realignment is, the proverb writer told us that when we get it right, when we obey, and when we hold to love and to faithfulness, and when we begin to be about the things of God, we are promised that God joins us in that and that he brings good things into our life. And as your minister, I got to tell you, that's what I want in your life, the blessings of God, not the curses of the world. So this morning, I guess I truly do want you to be blessed by God. But understand that blessings happen mostly when we get in the right place with God. And if you're not in that place this morning, then why put it off any longer? If you've not given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, this is the Sunday you should do that. Be faithful to say, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And if you've been out of alignment, this is the day to humbly say to God, Lord, help me to get back in step with your Spirit. Help me to walk the way with you. Help me to be where you want me to be. And forgive my time of rebellion in a place I shouldn't have been. Whatever you have to do today, whatever decision is on your heart, would you make it as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation?